Hello, everybody. My name is Heather Perry. I'm the superintendent of schools in Gorm, Maine. I know Jeffrey, in speaking with him, said that he would do some introductory pieces, so I didn't have to do it. But I thought maybe by starting this recording, I'd give a little context for what this is about, at least to my knowledge anyway, after talking with Jeffrey. So I met Jeffrey just the other day, about a month ago or so, as he reached out to me. Jeffrey is a parent and a community member in the community of Gorm, and I am the superintendent of schools in Gorm. Gorm, Maine is a small community, about 18,000 or so individuals, located about 10 miles outside of Maine's largest city, Portland, Maine. The Gorm school system serves about 2,800 students in pre-K to grades 12, and certainly is a major factor in our small community, part of the glue that holds us all together, for sure. Anyway, Jeffrey reached out to me after what was a tumultuous budget approval process last year in the Gorm community. I don't know, you know, when I look back at that and reflect upon that, I don't think that was a negative process at all. I think it was a very positive one. And I think part of what intrigued Jeffrey to speak with me and ask me to do this recording was the fact that, you know, when we talk about compromise and when we talk about difficult processes or working our way through difficult things as a group and as a community, you know, it's hard if you think of them as a negative thing. I tend not to think of these things as a negative thing. For example, in what happened last year as a community in Gorm, I think it was a very necessary part of our democracy where oftentimes we have to just recalibrate as a community. What are our priorities? What do we see moving forward as our priorities as a community? And I think those conversations, although yes, they can be uncomfortable, they're very important for a community. And I guess this is what kind of drew Jeff's attention and kind of asked to sit with me and speak with me about the topic of compromise. Now, he uses the term the wildness of compromise. I'm not sure I would go that far. To me, I'm a practical person. I'm a very, get things done type of person. I care deeply about the community of Gorm and the children that I serve. But at the same time, or at the same time, and in addition to that, I think the way that we have to navigate our democracy in the United States and at the very smallest levels at our municipalities is through the art of compromise. So I guess that's what drew Jeffrey to me and asking me to record this, is that whole process that took place last year with our budget approval. Anyway, you know, as superintendent of schools, I guess one of the things I wanted to share with everybody is that I work with, in a community, I work with two of a community's most precious, absolutely most precious resources, which are A, its children, which represents its future, and B, its taxes, which I don't know about you, even me as a personal, as an individual, I don't like taxes any more than anybody else. And so I think those are two pretty volatile topics or passionate topics that people really feel strongly about. And so when you think about my role as superintendent of schools and trying to navigate operation of strong schools that is paid for by a community's taxes, I think you can understand how probably the art of compromise or the use of compromise in my position is quite constant. And it's important that I am effective at the work of compromise. You know, I work with many constituents in a community. I have the school committee. I have the town council that I work with. I work with parents. I work with staff members. I work with students directly sometimes. I work with, religious faith organizations, nonprofits in the community. I work with businesses in the community. As a superintendent of schools, I really do have a broad sort of reach into the community, which is important because schools are, I believe, very strongly at the center of each community, or they should be anyway. So I work with a lot of different constituents and trying to navigate what's most important for a community in terms of supporting its education for its children. And there's really, you know, increasing challenges that have been a part of operating public schools over the past, probably 10, 15 years. I've been at this particular job as a public school educator for 29 years. I'm trying to add 10 years, I guess. But 29 years in public education. I started off as an ed tech and then a teacher. and then very quickly moved into being a building leader and then a superintendent of schools. Of the 29 years, I've been a superintendent in the state of Maine for 19 years, working with communities across the state from Washington County to Piscataquis County to Waldo County and now in Cumberland County. And I have to say that the challenges that I've experienced that I've had to deal with over that period of time have just continued to grow. And that's not necessarily a bad statement, or it's just a reality. And I think that having to navigate some of these things over time, I think have really helped to improve for me the understanding of the importance of compromise. I think today so many people feel as though if they compromise anything that somehow they're giving up on their beliefs, their fundamental beliefs. And I would make sure that people know that when I talk about compromise, I'm not talking about the fundamental beliefs that you may have or those things that are most essential. What I am talking about, though, is understanding other people's fundamental beliefs and trying to find a place. I think of it almost like a Venn diagram, trying to find a place where things may overlap and being willing and able to compromise and maneuver in those areas versus doing much that's going to impact the core of what you believe. You have to have very strong beliefs in this, especially in this culture and in today's world. But at the end of the day, you also need to be able to compromise in order to move anything forward. And I think when you look at the state of our national politics right now and sort of the polarizing culture that we live in at this point in time, I think you can see the impacts of not being able to compromise. And I think that's really, really important. Some of the things that I've had to really navigate over the past 15 years are things like increasing enrollment in the community of Gorm, and I'm just speaking specifically around Gorm at this point in time. But increasing enrollments has been a challenge in the community of Gorm, because with increasing enrollments comes increasing costs. And Gorm's not a rich community. Gorm is a community that is a very blue-collar, very hardworking type of community, suburb type of community from Portland, but very, very hardworking, kind of a farming, rural, agricultural background. And when it comes to increasing costs that kind of go up significantly in a short period of time, that's not something that they're very well suited to handle, nor should they be. And so, when we talk about increasing enrollments, that does put a significant strain on a community's ability to support its public schools. And that's something we've been dealing with now since I've been here when I came in 2015. Another big piece that we've kind of navigated here in the school system when I first came on board was around proficiency-based education. And adjusting some of our practices, pretty fundamental practices in education. The biggest one was grading procedures. That was not an easy topic to navigate with families, but we've managed to do it, and I think find some compromise in that area. And I can speak to that in more detail here in a minute. Another big one that certainly was huge for everybody to navigate was the issue of the COVID-19 pandemic. Wow, when you talk about the need to really be aware of your beliefs, your core understandings and beliefs and priorities, and then try to be open to compromise in lots of different ways. That was a pretty significant example of that in action. And then since the pandemic, and we've reopened schools, we had to open schools in a hybrid type of fashion. We had to navigate that. And then, of course, most recently, the budget challenges. Like I said just a few minutes ago, there's been no shortage of challenges in public schools across the country. Gorm is no different. And those are just a few examples of some of the things that we've had to navigate over the past 9 years or so that I've been in the community. So I guess, what leads individuals to make a leap of faith into compromise? I think that there's a lot more to that than information or understanding or beliefs. There's a certain level of trust and relationship that has to be in place in order for compromise to be effective. When individuals reach out or sort of take a step forward and say, hey, I'm open to try to compromise to move something forward here, they're in effect taking a very small or sometimes a very large leap of faith. And when that occurs, you really have to have some trust or some relationship with the individuals that you're working with in order to do that. You have to be able to give a little piece of yourself and receive a little piece of somebody else in order to effectively compromise. The other thing that kind of requires a relationship with effective compromise is the fact that you have to be able to enter into and engage in a meaningful dialogue where you can identify common goals and passions, and sort of, again, thinking of that Venn diagram idea, you've got to be able to understand where those areas are on the outside of that Venn diagram that can move a situation forward without compromising the individual's core passions, core beliefs, and core, you know, priorities. And so that requires communication. It requires sitting down and talking with people and listening to people, which is definitely an art that has become very, very challenging in today's world, the art of listening. But you have to listen because you've got to understand where those pieces are that can be maneuvered and where those pieces are that cannot be. And so that's really important. But you have to have that dialogue to understand the common goals and passions of the individuals that you're working with. The other thing I think has to be in place in order for effective compromise to occur is a strong vision and a shared vision, or if not an existing shared vision when you start, the creation of one as you go. Because again, I think people, when they compromise, they have to see that whatever they're giving is still getting them a step towards that common goal or that common vision. And so you have to be able to see that and articulate that in order for compromise to be effective. And then, you know, I think the other piece and the final piece that I think is really, really important for compromise to be effective is for individuals to be willing to give a little bit of themselves for the betterment of the whole. In other words, there's got to be a little bit of selflessness in the conversation. You've got to understand the larger picture that you're working with and how do you move that forward. And at sometimes in small ways at the expense of yourself as an individual. Not fully. I mean, again, Venn diagram here. You're not fully giving yourself over to whatever it is. Because if that's the case, I think there's like a famous Jefferson quote about, you know, the rapids and the water. And if you don't have a rock, then you're going to get swept away. You know, that's very, very true. The art of compromise is really knowing deeply yourself and your beliefs, understanding and being willing to listen to deeply the beliefs of others, and to establish a common vision working together with others that allows you to see the bigger picture, allows everybody to see the bigger picture and how this compromise is getting you and moving you forward in that way. And so I think that's kind of, when I think about compromise, that's what I think about. You know, I think about the ability to sort of understand, be solid in your beliefs, not giving up on your beliefs, but really understanding how to move those beliefs forward towards a common good without giving up the essential components of it. It's an art, and it's an art that I think, you know, I think sometimes is lost. I was just at a meeting the other day with former Olympia Snow, Representative Olympia Snow. I volunteer with the Olympia's Leaders Group and work with a group of young ladies out of Edward Little High School, and as part of that, and I was at a luncheon back in the fall where she talked about one of the reasons why she got done in politics at that level was because she felt strongly that the art of compromise has been lost a little bit. And when you think about what's happening at the national levels and sometimes even locally here in our state, you can see the degradation of compromise as an institution. You know, and that's troubling because our democracy, not just at the big national stage, but even our local, how we operate in a democracy, even at the local level, is based significantly on the art of compromise, on the ability to say, okay, you know, I'm clear about the fact that I believe in such and such, but at the same time, we've got to figure out how to do this. We have this common goal. What is it that we can do to move towards that common goal, even if that means giving up a little bit on what it is that you believe strongly about? You know, when I think about specifically the budget approval process last year in Gorham and the difficulties that were there, I think it's important to know that, you know, yes, there was compromise that was involved there. There were some very strong beliefs around, you know, taxes going up and individuals' ability to pay, concerns and very clear concerns around pricing out our older citizens and whether or not that means that they're going to be able to stay and live and contribute the way that they incredibly do to our community moving forward, and what's being sacrificed if these costs continue to go up. And at the same time, costs continue to go up and the needs of the schools continue to go up. And so where's that balance? Where's that compromise? And I think that the way that we navigated that through the institutions and through the leadership areas and the democratic process as a community, I think, you know, came out with a situation that defines what compromise is. Nobody was horrifyingly happy with what wound up happening. The school committee certainly didn't get the original budget that they requested. Individuals that wanted to cut significant costs in the budget did not get what they wanted either. But at the end of the day, where we wound up was a place that was in the middle, where we were still able to perform the essential duties and components of our schools, which is, you know, very, very important for our community, while at the same time understanding and addressing the concerns of those that were having difficulty with the costs. And I think that's the definition of a compromise. You know, you're still able to do the essential components of what it is that you believe in, but at the same time, you've moved a step forward as a community to a greater good. As a result of those conversations, too, we listened. Everybody listened, and I think that moving forward, we now have plans in place to really better address some of these things moving forward. Things like the creation of the Fiscal Sustainability Committee and trying to think about, as a whole, the next, you know, 5 to 10 years as a community, how can we continue to afford our public schools? Because that is a question mark. The needs of our public schools are not going down by any stretch of the imagination. So what is it as a community we can do together to roll our sleeves up and make things work? And so that's all a result of that difficult kind of back and forth, what I refer to as a calibration, as a community calibration conversation, which is beneficial in the long run. Painful as it may be in the short run, it's beneficial in the long run for everybody involved, for the entire community. And so, you know, I guess that's kind of when we think about the art of compromise. You know, I think that I went on and found a couple of quotes around compromise, and I particularly like this one. You know, it's a funny aspect of compromise. It was by Ludwig Erhard. He said that a compromise is the art of dividing a cake in such a way that everybody believes they have the strongest piece. I'm not sure I 100% believe in that. That's kind of funny. But in essence, it's what it is, that people believe that they've made a step forward towards whatever their end goal is, and therefore that compromise is a positive one in their mind, even though they may have had to give up something as a result. But, you know, the other quote that I found that I think is a little more serious and probably a little more require of thought here, and I think this gets back to the whole art of compromise, which is, you know, a quote by Amos Oz, who said that if we don't stop somewhere, if we don't accept an unhappy compromise, unhappy for both sides, if we don't learn how to be unhappily coexist and contain our burned sense of injustice, if we don't learn how to do that, we end up in a doomed democracy. That's a pretty significant thought process there. And I do think that's important. In today's polarizing community and culture and all that stuff, where everybody seems to just not only be thinking about themselves and individuals, I go back again in my mind, that Venn diagram. It doesn't seem like people are willing to put those circles together in any kind of a meaningful way to find that middle ground and to push things forward. And I think that's difficult. And I don't know if that's going to help our democracy as we continue to move forward. That art of compromise is an important one. And I hope that as a school system, you know, we do our job to teach and help instill the skill of compromise within our students. It goes back to me all the way back. You know, Jeff, I don't know if you know this about me, but the art of compromise has been in my blood for quite some time. I am a twin. I have a twin sister. And so from day one all the way through, compromise has been the name of the game, because we were two individuals that had very different thoughts, and we needed to share and learn how to compromise on a lot of different things as we go. And I'm sure if you have siblings at all, it doesn't have to be a twin, you know that art of compromise as well at that small granular level. That's what we're missing, I think, in today's world at the larger kind of landscape, and that's tragic. I think that compromise is a good thing. Again, that Venn diagram, you're not compromising on your core essential beliefs. You're compromising on the outskirts of that to move something bigger forward. So that selflessness is really, really important. Well, anyway, I think that's enough rambling for me at this point in time. Jeffrey, I don't know if this works for you or not, but hopefully it does. You picked a good topic around compromise and its importance, and hopefully you get people thinking about the importance of compromise, because I think without compromise, our entire culture is in jeopardy. So I'm going to keep working at my level, and hopefully others will keep working at their levels, whether it be individually or in their business or place of work or in their homes or in their communities or on the state or national scale. Compromise is important. I think we all need to find a way to refocus our efforts in those areas. All right. Thanks, Jeffrey. Hope this works for you. I'll see you around. Bye.